Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Big and bad.
Okay, my friends, it is time for our new retro vibe on the show. We said vibe quite a lot today. I don't know why it's stuck in our heads. It's called Back in Time, and every week we take a random year and we just remind ourselves of the big stories of that time. That could be showbiz, it could be sport, it could be music, hard news, which we're really into here on the show. Whatever you like. But there's also a nice little twist where two of you get to come on air and play a super fun head-to-head quiz on that particular year. And the winner walks away with a mega box of classic retro sweets, including Wham Bears, Refreshers, Stingers, all that kind of stuff from Planet Candy. Cormac, our begging and pleading worked.
It did.
Did it work?
Well, Graham was on the phone. Either he was ringing his missus or we got someone.
It's probably onto his missus.
We got someone. If we only got one person to do the quiz, because we need two, they have to be able to put on another voice and beat someone else. That's or one of us will have to play as well.
Begging works. I love it. Absolutely. I love it. Okay, but now myself and Cormac are going to talk through the year. What year are we looking at?
2008. That was the random generator. Picked that last week while you were away. But it was a big year. The news stories. I'll give you three news stories.
Firstly, before you get to that, what were you doing in 2008?
What was I doing in 2008? God, I wasn't ready for that, Jen. What was I doing? Actually, I was trying to sell a house.
Were you?
The first house I ever bought. And it was a bad year for doing that kind of thing because it was when the financial apocalypse hit Ireland.
You were selling the house. Do you know what I was doing?
What were you doing?
I was setting up a business.
You were setting up a business?
Yeah, I was set. Well, I said, yeah, 2008, I set up my photographic studio.
Oh, wow.
On South William Street. Set up in 2008.
Did the bank give you a loan?
I didn't need a loan. Don't do loans.
Cash in the back pocket. Mm-hmm. Cash only.
Cash. I'm a cash only kind of gal.
I know.
I didn't go for a loan. But I was setting up a business, and it was quite a scary time because the financial crash was coming. But
oh my god, it was the.
Don't let that put you off.
No, but like it was an unbelievable year. Like it sort of kicked off on Paddy's Day in 2008. Stock markets around the world started crashing, including around Ireland. Like the harbingers of badness was way before that. But the Celtic Tiger had seen years of growth, and it died in 2008. The notion that banks might actually shut down was not far fetched, and the notorious bank guarantee came in, where anyone's money in the bank, wasn't it? They said that. We will guarantee it. The bank will guarantee it. If you've got money in the bank, don't worry, you're not going to lose it. That's how bad things are got. And because they were building so many, the development was going so much, and house prices were going so high, it all completely crashed by the summer of 2008. 63%, there was a surge of 63%, of young men signing on. Most of these guys were bricklayers and carpenters and people from the construction trades because credit dried up. There was unfinished building sites which just shut down and everyone was laid off, leaving the country littered with. Remember ghost estates?
Yeah. Oh my this God. Big, oh, I felt
know.
A bit sick just using that.
And you pass by them all. You'd pass by them all the time for years afterwards where they'd be just, these beautiful half-built houses and rust and, rusting cement mixers and half-built walls. It was very, very depressing. But anyway, nearly 500,000 people left the country, not in that year, but as a result of what happened in that year. This clip I found is a guy in America being interviewed by an American news organization about what's happening in Ireland, right? It is, he nails it. He's very, very angry, but he's very, very funny as well. Take a listen to this.
What's the story here?
Well, I'll tell you, it's like what has happened all over the Western world for the last 20 and 30 years. Greed, greed, and more f***ing greed and cheap money. We had a stupid f***ing government. We had a regulator that was asleep at the wheel. We had very deceitful and conniving and corrupt developers. And of course, above all, wank fucking bankers. All these arse should be thrown in jail and the keys thrown away for the rest of their life. Who's going to pay for it? The working man. the nurse, the teacher, the policeman, the fireman, the plumber, the carpenter. For f*** sake, man, this is a joke.
So I'm sensing a wee bit of discontent?
You are indeed, sir. By the way, let's not be too cocky in this part of the world, North America either. All these debts that people have accumulated over the last 30 years.
And you know, speaking of the Celtic Tiger and all that you mentioned, you know that Michael Flatley is really from Chicago.
Fuck off.
That is the greatest clip I have ever heard in my entire life. Please, can we play that once a day?
It's
that
unbelievable.
Captain, I feel like standing up in my chair to that man.
It's unbelievable, yeah. And when you see the visual of the guy being interviewed as well.
Unbelievable.
And then your man throws the question about Michael Flatley.
It was
at
on
the
his
end.
List. He didn't think your man was going to go off one. That was obviously on his list, and he just didn't listen. He was like, "What's my next question?"
The financial crash is worth it alone just for that.
That was it in a nutshell. Yeah. Absolutely.
So other things then.
Yeah, other things that was happening.
Obviously, that was the huge story of the year globally. But around this neck of the woods, this is a very, very big story as well. It's showbiz, but it's serious stuff as well. And it was known as Saxgate. Andrew Sachs, as you might remember, was a celebrated actor who played the legendary Manuel in Fawlty Towers. That guy. So everybody loved this dude. Do you know the guy I'm on about? You know,
he's so good,
Manuel.
Yeah.
You know, the waiter. Anyway, in a bizarre incident, Russell Brand, the comedian, and Jonathan Ross decided it would be a good idea to leave several vulgar messages on his answer phone. I don't know why. And they were bragging that the comedian, Russell Brand, had intimate times with Andrew's granddaughter, who was like 19 or 20 or something, Georgina. So they left these messages on. And the thing is, it was a pre-recorded radio show. So they had an option of going, actually, that's really bad. That's really tasteless. He's a decent fella. Why are we doing this? Let's not put it out. So they put it out anyway. And the BBC later sacked Russell Brand and suspended Jonathan Ross for 3 months, admitting the remarks were grossly offensive. And they were the BBC was also fined £150,000 for it as well. This was such a big story at the time. It was the headlines on the news before, you know, they got into the real news. So have a listen to this just to give you a sense of the gravity of what happened at the time.
Inappropriate and unacceptable. Now Gordon Brown joins the chorus of disapproval against Russell Brand and Jonathan Ross. Their lewd messages about Andrew Sachs's granddaughter have prompted more than 10,000 complaints. Tonight calls for the two stars to be sacked as Ofcom launches an investigation.
When on Saturday the 18th of October I made those remarks on Andrew Sachs's answer phone, I didn't think that the repercussions would reach the proportions that they have. Obviously, in fact, I didn't think about it at all. I now acknowledge it was a really, really stupid thing to do, particularly because Andrew Sachs is an actor and comic performer that I very much admire.
And what about the granddaughter who made lewd and tasteless comments about it?
Apologised to the granddaughter as well, but like, what the hell were they thinking? Idiots like doing this. And you know, I don't think the British people ever got over that. I never think they forgave Jonathan Ross or Russell Brand for doing that to a man who was such a nice man and such an institution as well. It just baffles me beyond belief why they did something like that. But
it's
there
like
you go.
Two lads egging each other on. They just got carried away in the moment and just weren't just thinking. But who is their producer? And
but
to
it went
think
out.
That it
they
went out,
they
yeah.
recorded it and then went, they had days to sit on it and then they put it out.
And they put it out.
Someone put that out on the radio. And
just thinking they are so high up the food chain that everybody's going to laugh at that and think that it's okay to do something like that.
Nobody
you know
laughed.
What I mean? And never questioning themselves. So they needed that. They needed that in their career to humble them, so they question themselves and hopefully question themselves further, you know,
yeah, and
down
I think,
the line.
I think Jonathan Ross has sort of paid for it. He's, as soon as that happened, nobody talks about Jonathan Ross or his show anymore. I don't know. He just seems to have lost he used to be the thing before that, and afterwards, just not the thing anymore.
Yeah.
He just lost it.
What else was going on?
Better news. There was some really good news that year. This is the year Barack Obama became the first African-American to be elected as president of the United States. He was the 44th president. He's the son of a white American mother and a black Kenyan father. And he grew up in Hawaii. So, you know, he was a very kind of diverse choice for president at the time, which was very forward looking. However, he did do two stints as president, and then Donald Trump took over. So you thought that was making progress, and then it all went backwards. But to bring this back to Ireland, the night before he was elected, there was a big hoo-ha going on in the village of Moneygall. We all know Moneygall now is a link to Barack Obama because his great, great, great grandfather came from Moneygall, a man called Fully Carney. But anyway, so the RT News and all the gang, they were hanging out down in Moneygall the night before the results came in. And sure, look, we have to take the Irish angle on it. This is some sound from there.
I hope we can get something in the village, something community-focused, community-organised, and we'll be having an open invitation to President-elect, hopefully, come Wednesday morning.
Well, I hope that he'll come and throw a few dollars around.
Hopefully, first of all, he'll get in. That's the big thing, isn't it? If tomorrow morning he's not in, well, then it'll be different, but we're all in hope.
Then there's the band who've written a song about Obama.
There's no one as Irish as Barack Obama. I'm not sure if that's factually correct, but at the time,
amazing.
The tune did very well for the Corrigan brothers, I'll tell you that. And of course, now we have a service station down that neck of the woods called Barack Obama Plaza.
Absolutely.
As a result
Absolutely.
Of all that kind of carry on.
Okay, so showbiz, what's your pick of 2008?
There's only one story that really could be here, and that's Glenn Hanser of The Frames and Marquesa Irglova wrote a song called Falling Slowly for a little indie movie called Once that they were starring in. And there's a scene in the movie that was shot in Ireland where they play the song Falling Slowly in Walton's Music Shop on George's Street. Like, okay, it's a small little indie movie with, you know, it's a small bunch of people who made it. And then it got nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song in 2008. That was a win. Like, to just get, that was, you know, we're done here. We've been nominated for an Oscar. That'll do. But no one was expecting what happened on the night. And here's John Travolta opening the envelope at that night at the Oscars in 2008.
And the Oscar goes to Glenn Hansard and Marquesa Irglova for Falling Slowly for Months.
Thanks. Gurav Mila Mila Matagut. This is amazing. What are we doing here? This is mad. We made this film 2 years ago. It took us 3 weeks to make. We made it for 100 grand. We never thought we'd ever come into a room like this and be in front of you people. It's been an amazing thing. And thanks for taking this film seriously, all of you. It means a lot to us. Thanks to the Academy. Thanks to all the people who have helped us. They know who they are. We don't need to say them. This is amazing. Make art. Make art. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well done. Well done.
Did you see that moment on television? I was just like, oh my God, I nearly cried when I saw just the idea of an Irish guy who used to busk in Grafton Street.
It's a phenomenal
winning an Oscar.
Song. It's a phenomenal song. It's a gorgeous song,
I know,
I have to say. It's a really good song. What would you say was the sporting event in 2008?
Olympics were on 2008. Again, boxing is where we excelled.
Okay.
I don't know why we seem to excel so much in boxing, but anyway,
deadly because we're tough. Heads off one another.
Yeah, well, maybe that is the reason. But 26-year-old Clondalkin boy Kenny Egan, who was the star of the show in the Olympics that year, and he won the silver medal in the light heavyweight boxing final. Although many judges, they did genuinely say that they got it wrong and he should have got the gold because it went to China. And it was being held in China at the time. Anyway, this is a short clip here. It's his mother, Maura, on the plans to meet him coming off the plane. Then a bit of Kenny Egan himself.
He said to me, are you coming to the airport? I said, I'd probably make my way out. But he doesn't know that we're all going out to meet him. He might have an idea somebody will go out, but not a lot.
I'm overwhelmed by all this, all support, the fans out here. You know, it's amazing. And I'm just delighted to be part of it.
The whole experience for me has been unbelievable. The Olympic Games, I suppose that's what it's all about for me.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good man.
Kenneth Egan, as he likes to be called, for a long time now, but like, you know, fair play to him, should have got the gold, but that's the way it rolled in the end.
And the big song of the year?
Big song of the year has to be by Catherine Elizabeth Hudson, also known as Katy Perry. Did you know she changed her name from Hudson to Perry because she didn't want to be confused with Kate Hudson,
yeah,
the actress at the time? And you might think that Katy Perry, was just like, she just came out and boom, she was huge. She actually had been dropped by two record labels by the time she hit pay dirt with this song. And of course, as usual in America, it stirred up controversy, with conservatives saying the song promoted same-sex relations, etc., 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 blah, 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 blah. And it is this song here.
Yeah. What a song.
Yeah, fantastic.
Good
tune.
Honor.
Yeah, fantastic. But you have to give a special mention to Ireland's Eurovision entry in 2008. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, 2008.
You can't have a clue, do you? After years of failure and in a collective act of madness, we decided we'd send Justin the Turkey to represent us. And in fairness, he didn't get no points at all. He got 22 points but didn't make it into the final. Of the Dustin is a male turkey. I'm referring to him as he.
He is male turkey. Yeah.
Okay. So the song was called Irlanda Dúza Pán, and here's a little few bars of that.
Irlanda Dúza Pán.
Irlanda Dúza Pán.
Irlanda Dúza
Pán. Woohoo!
Irlanda Dúza Pán. Irlanda Dúza Pán. Irlanda Dúza Pán.
Didn't work.
Country is gone.
Yeah.
Down turkey in a shopping. We send a turkey.
Exactly, in a shopping trolley.
I absolutely love it. Oh, I love it. I love this segment.
You still love that clip, the best ever, though, you about your man.
That's the best clip you've ever got.
Yeah.
In your life.
That's hard to beat now. That is hard to beat.
It is very, very hard to beat. Can I just play a little bit of it again?
Go on. If you missed it,
this is a guy explaining the financial crash to an American reporter, and it's just the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
What's the story here?
Well, I'll tell you, it's like what has happened all over the Western world for the last 20 or 30 years. Greed, greed, and more f***ing greed, and cheap money. We had a stupid f***ing government. We had a regulator that was asleep at the wheel. And we had very deceitful and conniving and corrupt developers. And, of course, above all, bankers.
Cormac, thank you so much for that.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.